Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning again, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder David Wise, and we share this time on the program with Elder Joe Nettles, and we're very glad to have you here with us this morning. We hope that we can be a regular part of your week. If you listen and enjoy our program, if you have any questions for us or would like to get in contact with us or we could help you in any way, you can email us at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, gospel-of-grace.com. That's got links to our iTunes podcast. It's got audio messages of all of our past messages from the program. And if you don't live in the North Mississippi area or in any of the broadcast areas from Starkville, Tupelo, or Pensacola, Florida, you can find a broader church directory on that website as well and hopefully find a Primitive Baptist church near to you. But if you do live in North Mississippi, we'd love to have you come see us at Macedonia Church, where I serve as pastor. We're at 11 State and Road on Highway 15, outside Ackerman, Mississippi, and Sulphur Springs, where Brother Joe Nettles preaches at, is at 40283 on Wolf Road, outside Caledonia, Mississippi. And both churches meet on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and we also have a Wednesday night meeting in Starkville, Mississippi at the La Quinta Inn on Highway 12. We start there every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock p.m. We'd love to see you. Come out and worship with us. And again, if you'd like to get in contact with us, please email us. We'd love to know that you listen to our program. This morning, we'd like to conclude our thoughts from Luke chapter 1. So you can be turning there as we'll consider the latter portion of that chapter here this morning. And we'll bring the message to you right after this song. So stay tuned with us here today. Turn with me again this morning to Luke chapter 1. We've been spending some time in this chapter that's centered around the birth of John the Baptist and the corresponding account of the conception of Jesus Christ in conjunction with that with John the Baptist's cousin. John the Baptist has now been miraculously born to Elizabeth and Zacharias in their old age, and Zacharias was originally doubtful and questioning the promise of God that he would have a son in his old age, and Zacharias was looking for a sign that the Lord would accomplish this, and the Lord gave him the sign of not talking for 9 months. And then after John's born and Zacharias confirms his name by writing on a tablet, the Lord looses his tongue, and Zacharias Zacharias prophesies by the Holy Ghost here toward the end of this chapter. And again, this is really the thoughts that have stirred my mind on this chapter. And the first portion of this is in regards to Jesus Christ as the Redeemer and as the Savior. But the second portion of this that we want to consider this morning of Zacharias' prophecy is the role of John the Baptist that he would play in being the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So we'll again read here in Luke chapter 1 the full prophecy of Zacharias beginning in verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which he had begun since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, and the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we might be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, and might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now notice the second portion of this prophecy, as Zacharias changes the focus. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet and in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his shewing unto Israel. So Zacharias now says, Thou child, this child, John the Baptist, that's been born unto me, has been talking about the purpose and the role of Jesus Christ as being the Redeemer of his people Israel, the Israel of God. And now he changes focus to the role of John the Baptist. And what would John the Baptist do? He will be the prophet of the highest that will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. John the Baptist is a very important figure in Scripture and a very important connecting link between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament gospel kingdom and what we know as the New Testament gospel ministry as well. In Luke chapter 16 and in verse 16, Jesus Christ said, The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Jesus said in another place that of those that have been born of women, there had not arisen a greater than John the Baptist, but yet the meek and lowly child of God that's least in the kingdom is actually greater than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, but he was also the precursor and the initiator of the New Testament gospel ministry. So what we want to see is that he would fill a very unique role in the sense of him being the prophet of the highest and being the forerunner of Jesus Christ and preparing the way for the manifestation of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. However, with John essentially being the first New Testament preacher, he sets the tone for the role of the New Testament ministry as a whole. So this child will be a prophet of the highest. He will be a herald of the highest and of the Lord that would be coming after him, and he would come to prepare the way of the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and look at a very detailed prophecy of John the Baptist. Here in Isaiah chapter 40, you may know that the book of Isaiah is, in a sense, the Bible in miniature. It has 66 books, and the first 39 books, to a large degree, are filled with judgment against people that have been disobedient of God, both Gentile nations and God's chosen people of Israel. But then the tone distinctly changes in verse 40, which would be the equivalent of the beginning of the New Testament gospel ministry. After the 39 books of the Old Testament, the first book of the gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, if you will. What's the message of the gospel? Comfort ye my people. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The message of the gospel is a message of comfort, and it is a declaration of what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. It's not an invitation for salvation, but it's a declaration of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You'll notice all those past tense EDs on those words, because the warfare of salvation is accomplished, and your iniquity is pardoned, and we've been saved by grace. So notice here the introduction to the gospel message, which was was the tone and the message of John the Baptist as he began to preach. But notice this description of him here beginning in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of God shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So John the Baptist came, let's not forget, during a time that the Lord had not sent a prophet to Israel for over 400 years. The 400 silent years, as the canon of the Old Testament closes in Malachi, and there is no prophetic open vision for over 400 years to the people of God. And what's the beginning of that silence ceasing? It's John the Baptist. And what is the ending of that silence crying? It's the voice of him crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. He is preparing, he is coming as the New Testament gospel ministry bulldozer to fill in the valleys and to make low the mountains to where the pathway of the coming of Jesus Christ's ministry, that the road and the pathway would be properly prepared on a level plain for the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, what is John described as here in verse 3? And he identifies himself as this as well. When people came to ask him, who are you? He just said, I'm a voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. And at the end of the day, that's all the gospel ministry is a voice. We are simply a megaphone for the message of God, and we trust the Spirit of God to God's people. I've heard a story of Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, who had a very prominent radio ministry, and he said, to many of you, I'm simply just a voice. And he said, that's good, because you don't need to exalt me above my position. And certainly John the Baptist had that perspective. I'm just a voice. I'm just a megaphone. I'm just a microphone to declare the message of God. And at the end of the day, that's all I am. I'm just a voice. Many of you that listen to us on the radio or on the internet or on a podcast, I've never had the privilege of meeting you in person, because I really hope you don't think all that highly of David Wise, because I'm not very special. But what I am, I trust, is a voice that points you toward the Word of God and Jesus Christ. That's all I want to be, is a voice. You don't need to remember my name, you just need to remember the message. And what is that message? What is the message to Jerusalem, the people of God? That their warfare is accomplished, that their iniquity is pardoned, and she's received the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Now, before a king would make a journey, the people in the areas that he would be going to would make preparations to where when the king came, he wasn't having to get out of his carriage and climb up mountains. No, they did a lot of construction in anticipation of the king's arrival, to where when that king came, the road was properly prepared for him to have a level pathway and journey during his time. And I'll tell you, there is no more important king that's ever showed up here on this earth than Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist was prepared by the Lord to be the bulldozer, to be the one-person construction crew to fill in the valleys and to tear down the mountains. And in a very real sense, he filled in the valleys by bringing the gospel to the poor. Those that were maligned and overlooked in Jewish culture, he raised up those valleys. But what John also did is he tore down those mountains of that Pharisaical attitude of the generation of vipers that were in control in first century Judea. He lifted up those that were in the valleys, but he tore down those that were in the mountains for the purpose of constructing a level pathway for Jesus Christ as he came onto the scene. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Now back in Luke chapter 1, notice this description, very important, of the ministry of John the Baptist, but more aptly, the ministry of the New Testament gospel church. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet feet into the way of peace. What is the purpose of the gospel ministry? It is not to give life. It is not to resurrect those that are dead in trespasses and in sin. It's not to give an invitation to eternal life. Only God can give life to those that are dead. But what is the ministry of the voices that God has called to preach to His people, just like John the Baptist? What is the purpose of that voice? The purpose of that voice is not to give salvation. Notice in verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation. This is why it's so important to understand this prophecy of Zacharias. We need to perfectly understand the role of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. And then we also need to properly understand the role of the gospel ministry in declaring what Jesus Christ has done. Notice the role of Jesus Christ, okay, in verse 68. That Zacharias said, He hath visited and redeemed His people. He redeemed them. In verse 69, He's the horn of salvation. What did Christ do? In verse 71, He saved us from our enemies and from the hand of them that hate us. We've been saved by the work of Jesus Christ. Remember what the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. You're going to have a son. You call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. We see here in verse 68 that He has redeemed His people. And that is the role of Jesus Christ that could only be performed by Him. The work of salvation and redemption of His people had to be performed solely by Jesus Christ. But now, based on the knowledge that the warfare is accomplished, based on the knowledge that our iniquity has been pardoned, based on the finished work of Jesus Christ in salvation, what is now the role of the voices of the New Testament gospel ministry? It's not to give salvation, it's to give what? It's to give knowledge of salvation. And notice, who's this to? Who do you give knowledge of salvation to in verse 77? Unto His people. You see, the gospel is not applicable to those who are not God's people. So therefore, you can't give knowledge of salvation unto anybody that God has not already redeemed and saved that are His people. But for those who already are His people, there's a lot of them that, in verse 79, sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. They're sitting in darkness. So what does the gospel do? It gives light to them that sit in darkness. The gospel doesn't give life from death. It gives light in the midst of darkness. To give knowledge of salvation. Again, not to save anyone to heaven, but to let God's people know what the Lord has already done for them. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Okay, notice God is already our Savior. It's not the possibility that He might be your Savior. He is your Savior. But then in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved? Well, see, there you go, David. God loves everybody and He wants to save everybody. And now you just need to perform a condition so you can get saved. No, remember, God's already your Savior. But in what way does God desire for every single one of His people to be saved? Keep on reading now. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? How? To come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one man and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. What knowledge do you need to come to? You need to come to the knowledge that there is only one mediator between God and man, that Christ is the only way of salvation. Now notice, what did you need to be saved to? You need to be saved to what? A knowledge of the truth. And truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. But I'll tell you, you believing truth is going to do you a whole lot of good here in time, right? You believing the truth of the gospel, you believing the fact that your warfare is already accomplished and your iniquity is pardoned, you believing that fact and you having knowledge of that is going to save you and deliver you here in this world. Why? Because you might be sitting in darkness. You might be sitting in the shadow of death. We talked last time from Hebrews chapter 2 that Christ has delivered us not just from death, from eternal death and woe and misery, but He has delivered us from the bondage of the fear of death. There's a lot of children of God who have been saved from death eternally, but they still live in the bondage of the fear of death. Why? Because they do not have yet the knowledge of salvation. Notice here in verse 79 of Luke chapter 1, to give light to them and then sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. There's a lot of His people, a lot of God's children that are still sitting in the shadow of death, that are still living in the fear of death, in bondage here in this world. And what does the gospel do? It gives light to the reality of their situation of being saved by the sovereign grace of God, right? It gives them knowledge of salvation. Notice this language here in verse 78. Beautiful King James language. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. That word day spring literally means a dawning or a sunrise. What does a sunrise do? It gives light to those who had been in darkness for a long period of time at night, right? Think about this first of all in the context of this first century Jewish culture who had been sitting in darkness for over 400 years of silent years. And now, who's showing up? The day spring. They have been in darkness, but now the sunrise is coming. The light is coming on the scene. And John the Baptist is giving them the precursors, the coming attractions of this message. They're starting to see these little bitty glimmers of the day spring and the sunrise and the dawning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. They're beginning to see the first little glimmers of light. And these are people that are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. And I'll tell you, that same day spring, that same sunrise will be manifested in the life of God's children when they are given not life from death, but light in the midst of darkness. Again, it's so crucially important that we understand the role of the gospel ministry. Zacharias gave us the role of Jesus Christ in the first portion of his prophecy, and that is to redeem his people. But now, what is the role of God's voices in the New Testament church? It's to give knowledge of his people of their salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So again, this is Jesus' role in salvation, that he saved us. And we are saved, and it's according to his grace and not according to our works. But now, what's the role of the gospel? What's the role of the preacher? Verse 10, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, not the guy who would really love to be our Savior, but our Savior, who hath abolished death, and notice, hath brought life and immortality to light, through the gospel. Life and immortality were already there, but how were they manifested? How were they illuminated? How were they brought to your vision where you could properly see them as a child of God? They were brought through the gospel. The light switch of the gospel illuminated what was already there. Light does not create anything. Light simply shows us what's already there, right? And that's what the gospel of this day spring, this sunrise, this dawning of our salvation is, right? It illuminates our current present condition of being saved by Christ. Hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life and immortality came from salvation by grace in verse 9. But how is it manifested? Through the gospel. Notice this language of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26. Who was called and appointed by the Lord to be one of these voices of the New Testament gospel ministry. And what was the role of Paul as a voice? Acts chapter 26 and in verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. Notice this language in verse 18 of Acts 26. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. What was the role of the Apostle Paul in his ministry? It wasn't to give life to those that are dead. It's to open their eyes and notice, turn them from darkness to light. It's for him to manifest the day spring from on high to his people. Notice this language in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not. Notice this language. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what he meant by delivering them in Acts 26 from the power of Satan to the power of God. That is delivering them from a life that is being influenced from Satan to their destruction into to the liberty that we have in the gospel kingdom in Jesus Christ. So what was Paul's role? It was the same role as John the Baptist, as the voice to give knowledge of salvation, to give light to those that stand in darkness. And that's the role of the gospel ministry. That's the role of the preached word. And I know I'm beating this dead horse, but you need to understand that the role of Jesus Christ is that he redeemed his people. But the role of the voices of God's preachers is to give knowledge unto his people of the salvation that he has already procured and secured and finished on the cross, to give light to those that sit in darkness. And Zacharias concludes his prophecy, and it says in verse 80 that the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his shewing unto Israel. I love that language, that John the Baptist waxed strong in the spirit. The Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3, that he prayed for them that they would be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And I'll tell you, what an amazing commendation of this young child, John the Baptist, that he waxed strong in the Spirit. I'll tell you, that's something I want to do. I want to wax strong in the Spirit. I want my inner man to be strengthened day by day. And he continued to grow. It actually says in verse 66 that we kind of skipped over, that the hand of the Lord was with him. The hand of the Lord was with John the Baptist, even as a young child leading up to his ministry. And then, of course, John the Baptist's ministry comes to full fruition as he's the forerunner of Jesus Christ and has the privilege of baptizing Jesus Christ in the future. That should conclude our thoughts on Luke chapter 1. I hope some of our time spent together here in this chapter has been profitable for you. But I want to leave you with this thought as we close this chapter and these closing verses to this chapter, that the role of the New Testament gospel church is to simply be a voice, to be a megaphone, to sound out to this world the good news of the gospel, the message of comfort, the message that the warfare of God's people is accomplished, the message that her iniquity is pardoned, because there's a lot of God's people that have been redeemed by him in verse 68 that don't have the knowledge of salvation in verse 77 and are still sitting in darkness in the shadow of death in verse 79. And you have the light switch. You have the message of the day spring, and there's a lot of people in darkness that need light. And it's up to us to be those voices that proclaim that message, to let God's people know the salvation that God has already perfectly secured for them by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's always great to have you spend time with us here on the Gospel of Grace Radio broadcast. And until we have a chance to be with you again, we pray the Lord will richly bless you.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless